What's going on, everyone? This is the Fantasy Playbook Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by Matthew Friedman, the Director of Content over at Fantasy Pros. He can be found on Twitter at MattFTheOracle. Friedman, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing well. It's that time in the off season where my computer's been running for days and I had to, you know, like turn it off. It's like, oh, I got to record a podcast. I don't want to I had like hundreds of tabs open. My computer was about to explode. There was like no way I would have been able to do a podcast without turning it off. That's like that's the barometer for where we are in the summer, where like everything is just heating up and everyone's starting to get back into like focusing on fantasy football, doing research for their drafts, getting in the best ball streets. It really is the best time of the year, I think.
Well, here's the thing is that you know exactly where all of those 100 tabs are and where you need to go to find exactly what you need. And then when you do restart, trying to reload all of those tabs and bring everything back up is just a huge pain in the butt, man. I know exactly what that's like. So now I'm sure that you only have like two tabs open right now. And then once the show ends, you're going to go back through and open up the other 98. I know exactly what you were talking about. All right. Like you said, we are now starting to turn the page into the fantasy football season here, but we are still right before training camp. There's not a ton of news breaking here. So I wanted to have some fun here. Talk about a question of the day here, right to begin. So, all right, let's assume, Friedman, that the NFL announces that every single player in the NFL is going into a redraft. It's an expansion draft. Yeah. Every single player is available now, and we're going to redraft the entire league. Congratulations, you have now been tagged as one of the next general managers of one of the 32 NFL teams. You have the number 4 overall pick in this massive redraft, all right? Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Herbert are all off the board. Every defensive player available. Every offensive player available outside of those three, who are you taking with that number 4 overall pick?
Oh, man. Okay, so I think if you go wide receiver, I think it's wide receiver or quarterback. I think if you do wide receiver, you go Ja'Marr Chase. As great as, you know, Justin Jefferson is, I think you go Ja'Marr Chase. But you probably have to go quarterback. And then it's just like pulling your hair out, like deciding between like Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or Joe Burrow. I think it's a decision between those three. I'd probably go with Kyler Murray because I think he's got, you know, like what you like in Lamar Jackson and what you like in Joe Burrow. I think he's got it all kind of in one package. It does concern me a little bit that he hasn't been able to put it together for an entire season. Maybe he's, you know, like injury prone. I don't know. I think I'd probably go with Murray, but I would hate myself as I'm doing it. Cause I would know that I'm, even though there's no, I think wrong answer, I would be making the wrong decision.
Right. You would 100% get to it and be like, I don't know if I made the right choice here. That is a super difficult question because like you talked about, there's those three quarterbacks at the top. You could go with any of the young defensive talents you want to build at those premier cornerstone positions of edge. Maybe you want to go with an offensive tackle, one of these young guys that has proven to be a cornerstone piece already. There's a lot of different ways you can go with it. But if in this hypothetical situation, it's a snake draft format too, you're not getting a quarterback on the other way around. So I think that you do have to go with the quarterback there. I would personally go with Joe Burrow. I was very, very high on Burrow coming out of LSU. And based on everything I've seen so far, Burrow would be that cornerstone piece for me here at the number 4 overall pick. All right, before we get into the wide receiver rankings discussion here today, want to remind everyone, one of the wide receivers that we are going to talk about here in this show, you can get a signed jersey from him by going over to the ffplaybook.com/fantracks giveaway. That is a signed DK Metcalf Seattle Seahawks jersey. So go over to fantracks.com/playbook, create your free account, then go over to the ffplaybook.com/fantracks giveaway for all the details on how to enter. While you are there, go over to the ffplaybook.com/shop. Click that shop button on the new website there, and you will find the premium projection template. We are still at the point where you can get your projections in for 2022 and take a logical based approach here to your rankings and kind of taking everything into account as you look at the upcoming season. So I've made it super easy for you to go team by team, player by player, bringing in historical stat data there for you, the premium projection template over at the ffplaybook.com/shop. 10% of every template purchase this year is going directly to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. All right. Freeman, let's get into the wide receiver discussion here, just like the other shows that we've done here this week. And I wanted to kind of just take a step back as we zoom out a little bit, taking a look at the running back landscape, the quarterback and tight end landscape. We're going to continue that here with the wide receivers before we really start to dive into some of the fun conversations and topics here over the next couple months. But let's talk about the wide receivers here today. What I'm going to have you do is start here at 20, and I'm going to have you list off wide receivers 20 through 16 in this tier for me, and then we'll double back and talk about some of the noteworthy names in there.
Yeah, so I just updated my rankings this morning. So at number 20, I have Brandon Cooks. Number 19, Jalen Waddle. I think I'm a little bit low on him, so that's maybe something for us to talk about. Number 18, Deontay Johnson. Number 17, DK Metcalf. And number 16, Michael Pittman.
All right, so let's double back here. Let's talk about Brandon Cooks right away. So Cooks last year, I mean, just one of the most absurd target shares out of any wide receiver in the entire NFL. It was ridiculous the amount of targets he was getting every single game. And now you could talk about the quality of the quarterback play and everything like that, but Cooks just continued to get the job done for fantasy football. What are your expectations for Cooks this year in Houston? Now they've added John Metchie. We expect Nico Collins to maybe take a step forward here. Any concern with Lovie Smith coming in as the head coach, though, and potentially wanting to run the ball 500 times per game?
Not really. I mean, I guess I should be a little bit concerned, but you know, he played, he being Brandon Cooks, you know, he played well at the end of the season with Davis Mills. I think Mills might be a better quarterback than we would have imagined a year ago. I mean, maybe not, but at a minimum, you know, like he's not the worst quarterback in the league. Like he's probably not going to be the worst starting quarterback this year. There aren't other established wide receivers. Nico Collins, I know he's got a lot of potential, but you know, he doesn't really concern me. Chris Conley doesn't concern me. Mechie is coming off of the ACL injury. Like who knows really how functional he is to start the year. Every year of Brandon Cook's career, he's gone over 1,000 yards receiving when he's played at least 15 games. You know, like I think we basically just pencil him in for, you know, like 1,000 to 1,200 yards, 4 to 8 touchdowns, and then we just move on. You know, like right. I think he's got a very high floor.
I think that's the perfect classification for Brandon Cooks this year. High floor. Now he's not the sexy pick. He's not the name that you're going to be extremely excited to draft this year. I drafted him in Scott Fishbowl in the 7th or 8th round this year and was like, okay, yeah, I know that he's going to get the job done for me. I've got him at wide receiver 18. You know, from a projection standpoint, he's going to stat out very, very well. And I think that he's going to continue to provide that high floor, but he's not necessarily someone that has the upside of these other guys in this tier that you talked about, just based on, you know, the situation that he's in, but going to provide a very, very high floor for you week in and week out. And that has incredible value on your roster this year. Let's talk about Jalen Waddle there. You said that you are lower on him, or you expect to be lower on him than the consensus. I've got him at wide receiver 14. You've got him at 19. So there is a difference here. I want to talk about Waddle and get your thoughts on why you're a little bit lower. Is this based on you expect Tyreek Hill to be a, you know, the clear leader from the target share perspective? What's leading to Waddle being just a little bit lower in the difference here in rankings?
Yeah, it's a combination of factors. And if you look at Fantasy Pros ADP, he's actually the wide receiver 13, you know? So I think even, you know, relative to you, relative to rankers, relative to the market, I'm really low. He's just a guy I'm fading. He set an NFL record last year for rookie with 104 receptions. So like that obviously is fantastic. And I understand as a talent on his own, why people are bullish on him, but I don't think he actually had that great of a season. Like his bottom line production, you know, just around 1,000 yards receiving, that really pales in comparison to other rookies who have had less volume. He had 140 targets last year. Like compare that to Jalen Waddle, who had 1,400 yards on 128 targets. Now, maybe it's not fair to compare someone to Jamar Chase, but Justin Jefferson had 1,400 yards on 125 targets the year before that. Michael Thomas back in the day, 121 targets, 1,100 yards. Like Waddle had a volume-fueled type of season, but it really wasn't all of that great in terms of efficiency. And then now I think it's going to be even harder for him to earn the opportunities because of Tyreek Hill, and the new coaching staff I think is going to lean more on the running game. So you just kind of put all of that together, plus quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Like, I think he's an interesting player, but maybe he doesn't actually develop into the quarterback that people thought he would be when he was at Alabama. I don't know if he can support two guys who are right there in the conversation of being like a wide receiver one. So I'm just kind of skeptical when it comes to Waddle.
Trying to figure out where to play your fantasy football league isn't exactly the easiest decision in the world. You got your group of friends together, whether from college or work or whatever, and you're ready to start getting everything set up, but everyone seems to want something different. Some people want the ability to do awesome scoring adjustments and customization, while others don't really mind and just want a simple and easy interface to use and navigate. This is where Fantrax comes in. It offers the incredible customization and ability to adjust unique scoring settings like bonus points for certain positions, but it's also an incredibly sleek and easy interface to navigate. If you're ready to join the platform that everyone in your league is sure to enjoy, sign up for free today at Fantrax.com/playbook and be entered to win a signed DK Metcalf Seattle Seahawks jersey. Create your free account and then head over to the ffplaybook.com/Fantrax giveaway for all the details on how to enter. That's the ffplaybook.com/Fantrax giveaway for all the details. Fantrax, the home of fantasy sports. There are certainly a ton of questions as we look at Miami this next season, right? With how does the target share break down with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle? What are the overall pass attempts per game with Mike McDaniel coming in from San Francisco, obviously wanting to be a run heavy team? You know, what are the overall pass attempts? What's the volume there for these guys? And then I think the difference in how you can get Waddle to where I've got him versus where you have him or the market and things like that is, how do you expect the rest of the target share to trickle down out of this offense, right? With the other receiving options of Mike Gesicki, Cedric Wilson, Preston Williams is still hanging around town, Chase Edmonds out of the backfield, these other players, what's their target volume? If you have them a little bit higher, then you're going to take away that opportunity from Jalen Waddle, which is going to push him down the board just a little bit more. Again, too, what are the overall pass attempts? That's the overall volume going into the conversation. So there's definitely a lot of questions here with Jalen Waddle. At wide receiver 14, I don't know if I'm like 100% yes. Like I'm grabbing Jalen Waddle every single chance that I can get. Just from a projection standpoint, that seems to be where he lands out. But if we get Gesicki taking a major role in this offense, if we get Cedric Wilson playing much more of a role than we anticipate, I mean, they paid him pretty handsomely in free agency, then we could see Jalen Waddle not return value on his ADP, like you mentioned, or where I've got him as well. Deontay Johnson at wide receiver 18 for you. I've got him at wide receiver 15. Not a major difference here. Let's talk about DK Metcalf, though. At wide receiver 17, I've got him at wide receiver 23. So there is a difference here where DK Metcalf, outside of the top 20 wide receivers for me this year, I'm going to turn the floor over to you. What are your thoughts here with DK Metcalf? No Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll wanting to run the ball. What are your expectations for Metcalf this year?
Yeah, I moved him down this morning a couple of spots. I had him at 15, but obviously with Baker Mayfield going to the Panthers, he's no longer an option. And so like the number of outs that DK Metcalf has in terms of improving his quarterback situation, it's diminished. But this is more for me like a bet on talent. He's got 2,200 yards, close to 2,300 yards, 22 touchdowns receiving in the past 2 years. And last year, granted, small sample, he had more half PPR points without Russell Wilson than he had with him. And so at least there's like a small sliver of hope when it comes to the idea that Geno Smith could be good enough as a quarterback within an offense to support DK Metcalf. Now, this is also kind of assuming that Metcalf maintains a lot of his target share, maybe increases target share a little bit, and Tyler Lockett just falls off a cliff. Right. Which I think is likely to happen. So Metcalf, like I can only bump him down so far based on the sheer talent that he has. That's something I'll probably mention again later when we talk about another player, I think in a kind of similar situation. But I just feel dirty if I move him out of my top 20.
Listen, it doesn't feel great for me to move him outside of my top 20. But at the same time, I just don't see a path for Metcalf. He's got to be ridiculously efficient. And you mentioned that sample size with Geno Smith last year. He was super efficient. He was scoring touchdowns at a ridiculous rate last year with Geno Smith in at quarterback. So I get the path and what it could lead to. But when we're talking about guys like Brandon Cooks, Jalen Waddle, Deontay Johnson, these other guys that I have above Metcalf in my rankings, I feel a little bit more confident with their situations and the quarterback play versus Geno Smith Drew Lock. And I think it's going to be Drew Lock. And if that's the case, man, I don't feel great about it. So it really is like, I just don't know what to do with Metcalf this year, but I get your argument. Like keeping him inside the top 20, because he's a top five, top 10 talent at the position. I get just a matter of, I think the pass attempts for this offense come crashing down.
Yeah. And this is weird because Geno Smith isn't like the strong arm guy who throws downfield. And it feels like that is more DK Metcalf's game, but I still think he would be better for Metcalf than Drew Lock. If Lock is the starter, I am definitely dropping Metcalf in my rankings.
Well, and it's also interesting too, like the, you mentioned the Baker Mayfield, and I think that's why a lot of people still kind of had Metcalf up in the rankings. Baker Mayfield, obviously with Carolina now. Really the only veteran option available is Jimmy Garoppolo, and he plays for a division opponent. So seeing him traded to Seattle from San Francisco, I just don't know if I see that happening. It would have to be where San Francisco cuts Jimmy Garoppolo and then he signs with Seattle. And even if, I mean, okay, so let's play that situation forward. If Jimmy Garoppolo is a Seattle Seahawk, do you feel confident with DK Metcalf still within the top 20?
Probably. I think I would maybe move him back up to 15, maybe. Okay. But I think he would be roughly around where he is now.
All right. I would probably move him just inside my top 20. He would get a little bit of an upgrade, but I'm still very concerned with Pete Carroll and wanting to run the football. I mean, we saw Kenneth Walker, the addition in the draft in the second round. I think that they're going to want to run the football and control the pace of play. Let's talk about Michael Pittman Jr. here at 16 before we move out of this tier. I've got him at wide receiver 11. So a little bit of a difference here in rankings. What are the potential concerns with Pittman that keep him outside the top 12 for you?
Well, it's interesting because he gets like objectively, the upgrade at quarterback with Matt Ryan. You would think that that would be something that is good for him. No T.Y. Hilton so far, no Zach Pascal. So, vacated 106 targets. So I can see the bullish argument for Pittman and why some people would maybe even have him, on the borderline of the top 10, like have him number 10. Like I can see it. I think I am lower than those rankers because I could see that offense. I could see the offense still taking a little bit of a step back. Because Wentz, as inopportune as he was last year with his mistakes, he was still rather efficient overall in what he was doing. And, Matt Ryan has had a great career. I think a lot of his struggles last year could be excused by circumstances. But what if he actually is the quarterback we saw last year for like the second half of the season? Sure. And so I think there is some risk there that maybe people aren't really wanting to accept. And like Pittman, as great as he was last year, like I don't know how many touchdown opportunities he's going to get in this offense. And so like, even if he has like 1200 yards receiving, like I think that's well within the range of outcomes for him. He could still have like six touchdowns because whenever they get to the goal line, it's just Jonathan Taylor. And the difference between a guy who's, ranked like number 16 and a guy who finishes in the top 10 is touchdowns.
Right. Well, it's interesting too, when you get inside the red zone, the Indianapolis Colts not only have Jonathan Taylor, who can easily punch it in from the 5 yard, the 10 yard line, right? He's incredibly efficient. We know how talented Jonathan Taylor is. You also have Michael Pittman Jr., who's 6'4", Alec Pierce, who they drafted in the second round, who's 6'3", Mo Alie-Cox, who is 6'5", and then Jelani Woods, who is 6'7". So like they have so many different options to throw it up to in the red zone, right? The short areas of the field where you need those contested guys, just throw it up to any of those guys. So there's an argument there, but I think for Pittman, it's a matter of the opposite of what we talked about with Metcalf, where you've got the talent. And I think that Pittman is an incredibly talented wide receiver and the opportunity for targets is there. I just don't see that with Metcalf as much. I've got a little bit more faith in Pittman there in this offense with Matt Ryan this year. Let's move into that second tier here, 15 through 11. Go ahead and list those out for me.
All right. 15, I've got Terry McLaurin. 14, I've got Mike Williams. 13, Keenan Allen. 12, T. Higgins, and 11, DJ Moore. It might be a little bit spicy for me to have Mike Williams in the top 15. Maybe spicy to have DJ Moore ranked ahead of Higgins. I don't know, but maybe those are things we can talk about.
Let's talk about him. So McLaurin there at 15, I've got him at 17, not a major difference there. Mike Williams is interesting though. You said, inside the top 15, I've got him at wide receiver 19. So still definitely a believer in the talent and what he can be in this offense. But I wanted to point this out. Through the first 5 weeks of the season last year, Williams had four games with more than 18 fantasy points in half PPR scoring, including two with over 29. He came out of the season or out of the gates just on fire. However, past that point, Williams had just one single performance where he crossed over the 18 half PPR points threshold, and he had seven games with under 10 half PPR points. So we saw him come out of the gates on fire and then really just trail off towards the end of the year. Any concern with that? And I do have concern with that. That's why I've got him at wide receiver 19. So any concern with that, though, this year with Williams in Los Angeles?
It is a concern because, like, just the style of his play is somewhat boom bust because he is targeted down the field. But, man, I think he's got so much upside. And last year, you know, it's maybe too easy to say, like, hey, his season was derailed by the knee injury he suffered. But yeah, he started on fire. He suffered an injury. And then I would just say he wasn't the same for a significant part of the season last year. And then near the end of the season, he started to look a little bit more like the guy we saw in the first half of the year. So that is part of it. But you know, I'll just say, like, since 2018, Keenan Allen has had way more targets, 589 targets to Mike Williams with 370 targets. They have the exact same number of touchdowns, 26, and Mike Williams has 9.6 yards per target. And last year, both of those guys played 16 games. Keenan Allen, 157 targets to 129 from Mike Williams. Mike Williams had more yards and more touchdowns. Like, this is nothing against Keenan Allen, who I do have ranked one spot ahead of Mike Williams. But I'm just saying, like, within this offense, they need to find a way to get Mike Williams more targets. And I think if he's healthy this year, that's one of the big things. Like, I think he actually is a little bit injury prone because of his style of play. Like, he plays, like, really physical. And for some reason, anytime he jumps up in the air, it's like he can never land on his feet. He's always landing on his back. Like, what is this? Someone needs to teach this guy how to jump and land. But if he can actually do that, if he can stay healthy, I think he gets more targets this year, which means, like, he has a really high floor and a high ceiling within that offense.
Do you think that with the strategy, you know, and where you've got Williams ranked, and then, you know, you can get him as a wide receiver two on your roster, you know, he's going in the second, third round. So if you start wide receiver, or draft a running back in there, grab Williams in the third round. Do you think that the willingness to grab Williams as your wide receiver two depends on what you do with that wide receiver one pick? If you go with someone who has the guaranteed safe floor, you know, like a Stephon Diggs. Diggs is probably not, is very similar to Keenan Allen, where you're probably not going to get a ton of touchdowns, but the target volume is going to be off the charts. So do you go with, like, a Stephon Diggs in the first round, and then you feel a little bit more comfortable grabbing Mike Williams versus going Deebo Samuel, who we'll talk about in a little bit, who has a lot of concerns around him, then going with Williams? How does that play out as far as roster construction and draft strategy for you?
Maybe it factors in a little bit, but the fact is I'm just, like, so in on Mike Williams that regardless of what I do in the first two or three rounds, if Williams is there, I'm probably going to be enticed by the possibility of taking him.
The upside's certainly there. All right, Keenan Allen at wide receiver 13 for both of us. T. Higgins at 12 for you. He's at 10 for me. Not a major difference there. Let's talk about DJ Moore. The biggest difference in our rankings here. I've got him at wide receiver 20. You've got him at 11. So is this, did DJ Moore significantly move up because of the Baker Mayfield trade for you?
No. I moved him up one spot. I already had him in my top 12. I had him number 12, then moved him to number 11. And I felt a little bit weird moving him ahead of T. Higgins. But I think it's honest, like, that there is a significant upgrade to that offense with Baker Mayfield over Sam Darnold. I don't believe that it actually will be a competition.
I know.
If it is, then that's kind of horrible. But I think Mayfield should be the starter. It is an upgrade to the offense. And, man, DJ Moore is so weird. Like, I have a piece on Fantasy Pros looking at the top 10 or like my 10 all-in players, and one of them is Moore. And I feel like I've been all in on him for years, and he's both delivered and disappointed at the same time. Like, he's the only wide receiver with 1,200 yards from scrimmage in each of the past three seasons, and he's only 25 years old. Like, he's still ascending. His offense should improve. I don't think he's going to have, like, a horrible season. I think he's got a high floor with the targets coming his way. And I would expect that, like, he's got to score more than four touchdowns this year. Like, with all of the yards that he gets, he has to score more than four touchdowns at some point. So just given the talent that he has, I just want to be aggressive on him in terms of my rankings, because I want him, and I think the market is a little too low on him because of the touchdown dearth and because of the offense.
That's what it comes down to for me. The target volume, I think he's towards the top of the league as far as the overall number of targets that he's been given in my projection. So absolutely love what DJ Moore, he gets a bump up in full PPR formats, right? Because of that target volume, it comes down to the touchdowns for me. I had him projected with five touchdowns before the Baker Mayfield trade. He got up to six once Baker Mayfield was traded for. So I don't view Baker Mayfield as this massive, massive upgrade. If we give DJ Moore 7-8 touchdowns in my projections, he's right where you've got him. But I just don't have that confidence in Baker Mayfield versus some of the other quarterbacks that they could have brought in, you know, free agency early on or traded for, where that would have been, yes, I'm all in on DJ Moore. And I love the talent. I mean, right here, this is a DJ Moore signed helmet right behind me from Pristine Auction. Like, I absolutely love DJ Moore and what he can be. It's just a matter of the touchdown to opportunity, where I see some of these other guys like a T. Higgins, like a Mike Williams, you know, these guys having more upside there for the touchdowns. Let's move into that 10 through 6 tier. Go ahead.
So one thing just to mention about DJ Moore. So where he is going in drafts is kind of that point where I start to look a little bit more at upside instead of median, you know, projections or like your median outcome. And so I do think that DJ Moore has upside relative to some of the other guys ranked around him or going around him at ADP. And that is part of why I have him a little bit higher.
Yep. All right, let's move into that 10 through 6 here. Go ahead and list those out for me.
All right, number 10, AJ Brown. I couldn't have him any lower, really. It's sort of a gut thing. Number 9, Tyreek Hill. Number 8, Deebo Samuel. Number 7, CeeDee Lamb. Number 6, Mike Evans.
All right, so AJ Brown is at wide receiver 12 for me. I'm right there with you. Tyreek Hill, wide receiver 9. We both got him there. And you got Deebo Samuel at wide receiver 8. So if Samuel does truly become a pure wide receiver again, do you have any concern about him returning this value here in drafts?
A little. And it's nothing about him as a talent, because he, like, talent, I mean, saying he's a top 3 talent might be too aggressive, but we'll say certainly top 6, like, for sure. Certainly top 6. So nothing to do with talent. It has to do with the circumstances. So the new offense with Trey Lance, maybe they play a little bit slower. Maybe they're a little less efficient. You know, say whatever you want about Garoppolo. That was a fairly efficient offense in the Garoppolo era. And maybe they run the ball a little bit more. And so I think none of that is really a good thing for Deebo Samuel. And I imagine that he does play as more of a true wide receiver this year, but he needs to compete with Kittle and Ayuk for targets and their playmakers. So that's not to say that he's going to go back and get all of that target volume that he had in the first half of the season last year. Like, that's not a guarantee. And maybe some of the occasional carries that he used to get when he was more of a real wide receiver, maybe those don't go to him this year. Maybe some of them go to Ayuk. Maybe some of them go to, you know, Tyrion Davis Price, who they drafted. So, and he was just so unbelievably efficient last year.
Ridiculous.
That we kind of have to project some regression, not to like the mean of the league, but just regression to Deebo Samuel's average, which is still high, but he was a level above that last year. So you put all of that together and it just makes me a little bit nervous.
It's interesting because everything that you mentioned there with Deebo Samuel, on top of the fact that he's been injury prone, I'll call him that, like, he's definitely had his injury history, even going back to his time in college, where last year he kind of escaped that. I think he missed one game last year off the top of my head. So, like, Deebo Samuel avoided that injury bug last year and it led to just all world efficiency that could potentially, you know, catch up with him this year. And yet at the same time, I still got him at wide receiver 8, you know? So it's like, I can't get Deebo Samuel outside of the top 10, even with all those concerns. It's one of the ones where I rank him there. I don't end up with him on my roster in a ton of drafts, though, just based on his price tag and where he's going and the consensus opinion around him. Let's talk about Mike Evans here at 6. I've got him at wide receiver 7. So is this ranking assuming that Chris Godwin is going to start the year on the PUP? If so, where would he land in your rankings if we knew he was going to be sharing work with Godwin from week 1?
Yeah, I bumped him up my rankings since Gronk retired, and since, you know, I started becoming increasingly skeptical that Godwin would be ready to start the year. So this is under the assumption that Chris Godwin is either on the pup, or even if he's, you know, out there in week one, he is a diminished version of Chris Godwin's. So I think Evans gets extra volume in that instance. And, you know, we've seen it the past 2 years. He's got a really high floor because of his touchdown ability. Touchdowns are hard to project, but right. kind of not when it's Mike Evans with right. Tom Brady throwing him the ball. If we knew that Godwin were to be out there week one, and a pretty healthy version of Chris Godwin, then I would probably have Mike Evans around number 13.
That was exactly the number that I was kind of spitballing as well, in that territory where I think even if Godwin does come back week one, I don't know if he's going to be at 100%, right? And seeing these 7 to 8 targets, seven to 10 targets that he sees per week, I think Evans does have a little bit higher upside this year because of that target volume. Whereas in years past, I've been out on Evans at his ADP because, okay, the touchdown regression has to hit at some point, right, for Mike Evans, and it just never does. He continues to score those, you know, touchdowns every single week. So Evans there this year, I'm in on, but it's going to be something to be monitor as we move deeper into the offseason to see how is Godwin's recovery. All right, that final tier here, go ahead and list off 5 through 1.
All right, 5, Davante Adams, 4, Stephon Diggs, 3, Ja'Marr Chase, 2, Justin Jefferson, 1, Cooper Kupp. I don't think anything too controversial there.
I don't have any notes for this one, Freeman. I don't have anything in here because literally the only difference between our rankings is that I've got Diggs at 5 and Adams at 4. And yeah. that is like they're all in the same tier for me. So the same ranking with Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp. I really don't think that there's much to break down with those guys. I don't think that you can go wrong with any of them in the first round, early second round of your drafts this year. Let's talk about notable omissions, these guys that fell outside of the top 20 for you. There is a big difference in our rankings, and I wanted to talk about this one. That's Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson, the wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, signed in free agency here. So where do you have Robinson in your rankings, and what are your expectations for him this year?
Robinson in my rankings, I will say I've been cajoled into moving him higher, but I still have him at number 35. All right. And I should probably have him higher than I do, but part of me just, I can't get there. I'm looking at the guys that I have ranked ahead of him, and I feel that they have a better combination of ceiling at this point. And at that point, like, that's really what I'm looking for. I'm looking more for ceiling. And Allen Robinson, I understand the bull case scenario for him. You know, he's been a really good wide receiver his entire career, who's been dragged down by the quarterback play around him. And now he's going to the best quarterback, the best offense, the best play caller he's ever had. Like, all of that is, like, it's compelling. It really is. And there's the wide open spot there for him. Robert Woods isn't there. Odell Beckham Jr. isn't there, at least right now. Not going to be there to start the season. So, like, you can see how he ends up getting significant target volume. Like, I can right. appreciate that. The reason why I'm down on him is that he, I think, for a lot of his career, has been a rather inefficient receiver who's been buoyed by volume. And now he's coming off of the worst season of his career, and you can make excuses for that, but Darnell Mooney was getting it done in Chicago. Like, the fifth rounder who came right. from nowhere, he was getting the targets in Chicago. This feels like a guy who was once great and then was okay, and then last year had a really bad season. And I just kind of don't want to do that when a guy is already like in his upper 20s and has an ACL tear on his resume. It's just like, I would just rather not. Plus, that offense, as good as it is, I think that they are likely to throw fewer touchdowns this year. And one of the big cases that people have made for Allen Robinson is that he's, even if he's not getting a ton of targets, not getting a ton of yards, he will be the goal line, red zone, end zone guy for them as a receiver. And maybe, but there just might be fewer receiving touchdowns sure. to go around based on how much they passed within the 5 and the 10 yard line last year. Like, I don't think we're likely to see that repeat.
There are a lot of wide receivers that you can take, and I mean running backs, quarterbacks, tight ends, a lot of fantasy assets that you can take a very logical approach to, and you can really see, like, this is the path for them. This is the most likely outcome. Allen Robinson is one of the players this year where you got to make a gut call. You have to 100% just choose with your gut and what you anticipate it's going to be. Got him at wide receiver 16, Matt. So we are at wide receiver 16, wide receiver 35. Massive difference with Allen Robinson, and you can tell the decisions that are being made with guts there. I do think that everything that you pointed out as far as the opportunity for Allen Robinson to be, you know, Cooper Kupp, when they get in the red zone, he's getting that double coverage. It's just a guarantee at this point. Allen Robinson ending up with the quarterback upgrade this year, I do think that he is going to bounce back in a big way. I don't think that he's going to be this kind of guy that needs the type of volume that he's gotten in the past to be a fantastic fantasy asset this year. And yet at the same time, I can acknowledge that there is a path. There's a very low floor here for Allen Robinson, because if what we saw last year in Chicago wasn't truly Matt Nagy just completely scheming him out of the offense for no reason, and it was a true decline in play, then he's definitely not going to return value on where I'm ranking him, even maybe where you're ranking him. So there is a low floor there, but I got to choose with my gut. I'm going Allen Robinson there a little bit higher than you, obviously. All right, Matt, this was a ton of fun, man. I always appreciate the times that we get to chat. Why don't you let everyone know where they can find you and more of your work and what you got going on over at Fantasy Pros?
Yeah, so you can find the work at Fantasy Pros. You know, we've got the draft kit that we published a couple of weeks ago, and we're perpetually updating. You know, we've got the rankings there at Fantasy Pros, and also at, you know, at Betting Pros, we're starting to put out more NFL content as the season is heating up. So definitely check that out, and then you can find all of my my horrible takes, like Allen Robinson, wide receiver 35. You can find those on Twitter at Matt F. The Oracle.
All right. Remember to enter into the DK Metcalf signed Seattle Seahawks jersey by going over to the ffplaybook.com/fantrax giveaway. That is FANTRAX giveaway. For all the details on how to enter there, it takes you less than 5 minutes, and it ends at the end of July. So you still have a little bit of time here to get entered into that giveaway. Again, courtesy of Fantrax. All right. That'll do it for Matthew Friedman. I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.